Well, we're going to finish talking about faith. That seems weird to say, finish talking about. Well, we're going to wrap up this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness / faith. And hopefully that's not been too confusing when we're splitting it into two. Some notes that in the bulletin and we're on the slides, we have we have one, maybe two Sundays left for Schultz Lewis collection. They haven't gotten a hold of me yet for what day they're going to be picking up. But we only know for sure that we have one more Sunday left. That table's getting filled up, and I'm sure we can make a good push to
there. Are they getting the cans, Julie?
Yeah, if you have cans.
Is that for this time? They take our.
Yeah, they'll take cans. They'll take our vegetable shortening and canned vegetables. They're even willing to take money for their general fund for their food items, and if you're bringing in Hope House materials, that's going to be the week after that. So we have most stuff for that delivery all set. Just have to put reminders out there because it's easy to forget. I told you last week, when we turned the page from faithfulness to faith, that it would have been very easy to spend the whole time in Hebrews chapter 11. I said that's what my instinct was, because I like talking about people who do things. Right? I like talking about faith with action. And I said, but maybe we just slow down. And we talked some last week about how maybe it's easier to talk about the things that we can do that maybe looks more like faithfulness. Maybe that's easier than faith, which is relying on what God can do. It's easier to keep it to ourselves. I said we would come back to Hebrews 11, and that's what we're going to do this morning. So hopefully you have your Bibles. And you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start off just by reading it. Went back and forth on whether it's too long of a text to read, and I checked with Rachel. I think this is going to be too much. Ultimately, I don't think we should apologize for reading out of the Bible. So, even though it's a whole chapter. Or most of the chapter that we'll look at. Let's go through this. We talked about this chapter in the kids' Bible class this morning, because I knew we were going to be looking at it today. And when we look at heroes of faith and Hall of Fame, those are stories that we like to pass along to kids, right? So Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, and when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And by faith, Abraham, When called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so this one man, so from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac spring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? He's going to say more. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had something better planned for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. heroes. This list, like I said, that we look at it, and the first thought is, these were men and women who really did some things that were great. The names that were listed in there, I know there were others that were made reference to, but I went through this week and I wrote down these names, this Hall of Fame, as we call it. Spent some time trying to figure out what was it about these people that made them heroes of faith. And a look at these names, what started to stand out to me is maybe these weren't all stories or instances of somebody standing up and saying, I'm going to do something great. You know, last week I was talking about how we like the idea of going and doing something, of saying, because I have faith, I am going to go do. I look at these names and I don't see a lot of people who said that. In fact, how many of these, you're looking at it, and I know there could be some difference in the way we define things. How many of these would you say that the great things they did were their idea? That they came up with the plan that I want to do something great and here it is. By my figuring, the list cuts down to these folks. And one could say Abel's was involuntary, but he did offer the sacrifice, so we'll include him on there. You could say that, you know, depending on how you define it, Samson, some of his decisions were made for him by his parents, but he made plenty of decisions to do great things on his own. But a lot of those names drop off if we're talking about just people who say, I'm going to go do something great. These were given the ideas, most of them by God, or maybe by others who were led by God. Let's take it one level further. Most of them didn't come up with the idea, but how many of these, based on what they're given credit for in Hebrews 11, would you say wanted to do the thing that they are credited as being a hero of faith for? Look the list over. You know some of these stories. You just heard Hebrews 11. By my figure, again, we can quibble some, but my figuring, the ones who wanted to do what they're given credit for were these ones. Right. You see, we gained Rahab. I don't know if it was her idea. It just said the spies showed up at her room, and then she acted faithfully. I think Moses' parents drop off here. Well, it was their idea. I can't picture them wanting to send off the child down the river. Abraham, I went back and forth on this, but it does talk about at least one aspect of this. Talking about Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice. It talks about the reasoning of why he did it, why he went through with it. To me, that tells me he didn't want to do it. He just figured God could make it right. This is not a list of mighty warriors, as we might think, of somebody saying, I'm going to go do it. Or these are people who got told to do something, and many of them had to be told in time. Barak's on the list. He pretty much said no. If you recall, Deborah comes to him and says, God has chosen you as the mighty warrior. And he says, well, maybe if you come with me. And she said, okay, but you're not going to get the credit. Hebrew writer didn't get that note. But bag ticking and screaming, and yet did great things. I think... that's why it is. So if we... This is the list of the people who was their idea and they wanted to do it. It gets pretty short. And we don't even know a whole lot about Enoch. And with Jacob and Joseph, the only reason they get included on there is because of the specific parts that Hebrews 11 brings out. It talks about them blessing their children. I think there are other parts of Jacob and Joseph's stories where they wouldn't make it still bolded on this list. This is a list not of warriors, but of fallible, imperfect, and in some cases borderline unwilling people who, when it really came down to it, trusted in God enough to do something. We talked last week about the idea of the way Jesus talked about faith. Don't talk about how much, just find a way to have some. Talked about the mustard seed. Talked about, they say, increase my faith. He said, just have faith. We talked about the way that Paul so often wrote in faith, by faith, through faith. We see that also in Hebrews. Not necessarily that they are doing something grand and bold, said, in my faith I shall conquer mountains. But this is saying, whatever you do, do it in faith. Whatever you do, bring God along. Whatever you do, be guided by God. And that's what we see in this Faith Hall of Fame. I think I was talking about it all wrong last week. I'm glad we waited until this week to talk about it. I think it's easy to look at this list of names and be intimidated. And to say, well, I don't know if I belong among those great names. These are the heroes of faith, right? This is the Faith Hall of Fame. But when we look closer and we see that these were people who simply were relying on God, we start to see that maybe we do belong. Maybe we can. Maybe it's not about the victories or the covenants or the commandments. It's about being among God's people, which is a list of people who are able to act faithfully in whatever situation they're in. And maybe we think about living with faith in that way. Maybe it doesn't have to come across as so heroic. Maybe we are able to, in the way that we deal with people, in the way that we talk to ourselves, maybe in the way that we take care of those who need it. Maybe in the way, just try to make sure that if we are doing something, that we are doing it in. If we are doing something, we make sure that thing that we take God along with us stay over there. Maybe we can belong on this type of list. I hope that made sense. Something that I struck me when I was looking at this. When we talk about faith, you know, I mentioned that sometimes I struggle with the statement of, well, you just have to have faith in the way that sometimes it's used. Sometimes faith seems like just another way of saying, I don't know. But when we talk about faith, maybe here's a picture that might help. It was helpful for me when I saw it and I thought of it. You know, we spent a while on the road a couple weeks ago. Saw a lot of things. I know you guys were getting hit by thunderstorms a couple weeks ago while we were out. We didn't have the thunderstorms. We had very, very hot weather. Especially kind of right in the middle of it. Let's see, the first Friday that we were gone, we were in Wyoming at the Cheyenne Frontier Days, state fair sort of thing. And it was the type of day that the people who enjoyed it most were the people selling bottles of water for $3.50. So it was hot. We got back to our car, turned on the dash red, 107 degrees. It was hot. Everywhere we went, it was hot. And then the next day we were driving down into Colorado, and this is what we saw. Anybody, I don't know if it catches your eye, but something about this picture confused our boys. We're sweating, chugging water, trying to make sure we're surviving the heat. And they say, how in the world is there snow on that mountain? And we start talking, well, you know, high altitudes and you know, it's high enough that the temperature goes down. Yeah, but it's really hot. And we went around and around a few times. Maybe you've had that type of conversation. If not that specific one, I'm sure you've had that type of conversation where you just have a hard time processing. And kids can have a hard time saying, if it feels really hot, that's right in front of me. There shouldn't be snow. I say, you don't quite understand. On top of that mountain, and it doesn't look as high as it is, something different is going on. You can't quite experience what's going on up there because it is too far away. It is too far above, and you're sweating too much to realize it. I looked at it. I spent a lot of time trying not to look at scenery. Driving around and you get yourself in trouble. So a lot of times I said, Rachel, take a picture. I'll see it later. And so this is one of those times. At the bottom you can see the expressway sign. You know, we're driving. When we talk about faith and we talk about the way that the list of people that we talked about in Hebrews 11 and so many others we could add to that list where we talk about when we're acting on faith, we are talking about something beyond us. We are talking about something, we are talking about a God. I love some of the descriptions, some of the ways God is described in Hebrews 11. Instead of just saying God, it gives one of those, you know, pictures of who God is. When we talk about faith, and we talk about having faith in one who creates, who delivers, who reveals, who sent the Messiah, who justifies, who all these words that I say, we can keep saying them, and I keep struggling with saying them. When we talk about this transcendent God, Wednesday we're talking about God and science, and we're talking about transcendence. A God who creates things so unimaginably big and so unimaginably small and is in control of all of that. When we talk about having faith in this God, sometimes it's like being down on the ground in 107 degree temperature and trying to figure out why there's snow up there. Trying to figure out what to do with what we see around us and how God fits in. It's kind of like having it explained to us that what's going on there is different than what's here. God is beyond our experience. God is beyond our physical observations. God transcends. When we hear a line like, "Your ways are not my ways," that's trying to get into that idea of, as we are trying to figure out how to live by faith, it is trying to make that contact with something bigger. That's why when we get frustrated or confused or scared, our faith says there's something bigger going on. We say it feels like nobody's turning to God. It feels like I'm all alone. It feels like things are just getting worse. And God says, just back up and try to realize the bigger picture. There is more going on. And so when I look at these mountains, I think about a God that I don't fully understand. And sometimes when I say, that I have to have faith, sometimes it does mean I don't know. Sometimes it means I don't know exactly how it works. Sometimes it means I just don't have the answer this time. I'm looking. I'm confident that the answer's out there. But I'm not to the mountains yet. I'm still on the road. I'm still trying to do my best with the AC. I'm still trying to do the best I can. But there is one out there who doesn't live by our same rules, who is beyond. And I am confident about that. I have assurance that even in the things that I don't understand and I can't quite explain and I don't know how it's going to turn out, I have faith. We were joking a little bit last Sunday night about the things that we hope for. Bill's power got knocked out, and he was hoping it was going to be back on. And he says, "But I don't have any assurance. And I don't have much confidence." And we said, "Well, this talking about the quality of our hopes is talking about the quality and the power of the one that we hope in." And there are a lot of things that I don't know. There are a lot of things that I don't understand. And I don't think that having faith or talking about faith is any admission of failure on my part. in those situations. Because just like that list, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all those others. It wasn't about their own knowledge or their own strength or their own skill or what they could do. It is about who was standing behind them. It's about who they had faith in. And it's the one who made the mountains. And the one who is so far beyond us. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Let's live by faith. Now, a lot of times these lessons have, and here's 3 points of how to do it. We all live different lives. We all have different jobs, different families, run in different circles. I don't have a list of what exactly you should do. But if you're doing something, do it in faith. God needs you wherever you are. God needs us to live faithfully and by faith in everything we do, not just the church things. So we're going to close. And if you have needs, we want to hear about them. And after our prayer, we're going to try to take care of some people we care about who have some needs. We'll take up the collection for Kyra and Alex. I believe this is a faithful community, a family of faith. Not because of how great we are, because of how great our God is. If there's anything you need this morning, please come forward and let us know as we stand and sing.
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, oh, pressed by it.